KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies. We're up to 70 degrees. We do look for it to be partly to mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms and a high near 90. The radar does show some showers and thunderstorms over the southwest corner of the state over Fremont County, and those are pushing off to the east out of Nebraska. There's a bunch of light stuff in the eastern third of Nebraska now and some heavier stuff in portions of southeastern Nebraska. So looks like the earlier heavier thunderstorm activity in that part of the state of Nebraska has lightened up quite a bit. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In local news or area news, the Creston Police Department is reporting five recent arrests. On Thursday, 38-year-old Jennifer Lynn Beard of Creston was arrested for harassment in the third degree. She was later released on her own recognizance. Late Wednesday evening, 31-year-old Clay Allen Bremer of Arisbe was arrested in Creston for domestic abuse assault. Bremer was being held in the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. At around 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, 37-year-old Brandon Ashley Howe of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for theft in the third degree. His bond was also set at $1,000. And 46-year-old Tori Lynn Pettit of Creston was arrested Wednesday afternoon for disorderly conduct. She was released on a $300 bond. Tuesday morning, 24-year-old Tyler Dennis James White, a homeless person, was arrested in Creston for theft in the fifth degree. White pled guilty to the charge and was released. Creston police said also that on June 28th, a man residing in the 300 block of Russell Street reported that sometime between June 27th and 28th, someone spray-painted the side of his 1988 pickup truck while it was parked outside the residence. Damage was estimated at $300, $330 to be precise. In state news, two Des Moines area police officers are on paid administrative leave after fatally shooting a man who brandished a knife at them when they responded to a domestic disturbance call. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation says West Des Moines officers Nathan Grove and Matthew Wood fired Wednesday night on 26-year-old Jonathan Pingle when he refused their commands to drop a hunting-style knife. The officers have been called to a home on the city's north side. The DCI said when Pingle advanced on the officers with the knife, each shot him. Their body cameras recorded the incident. Pingle received medical help at the scene but died after being taken to a Des Moines hospital. The division is investigating the shooting and plans to turn over its findings to the Polk County Attorney's Office. An eastern Iowa firefighter who was seriously injured in a fiery explosion that killed one of his colleagues earlier this year returned to work this week. 23-year-old Adam Kane returned to full duty just 6 months after the fire that injured him and killed 33-year-old Fire Lieutenant Eric Hosette. The fire at the ADM grain facility left Kane with two broken bones in his back, a dislocated shoulder, or elbow that is, a bruised brain, two broken bones in his right arm, and most of his ribs broken. Kane says he just kept working steadily to get better. Fire Chief Frederick Rawlings said he's grateful to have Kane back at work. That's fortunate that he was found during the fire because he was in bad shape. An Iowa parole officer has been fired after an investigation concluded that she abused her power by conspiring with a detective to conduct an illegal search of a drug suspect's home. A termination decision from the Iowa Department of Correctional Services says that Officer Carrie White committed egregious, unethical, and unprofessional conduct. The firing stems from White's unusual role in a criminal investigation of Daniel Venice, who was on parole for drug crimes and lived in Boone. White was not Venice's patrol officer, but a Boone narcotics investigator who was investigating Venice sought her help getting into his home without a warrant last year. Unlike police, parole officers can conduct warrantless searches to check on parolees. The search uncovered some marijuana and led to charges against Venice, but the judge dismissed the case after ruling that the search violated his rights. White has appealed her firing, contending she acted appropriately. Governor Kim Reynolds is transforming the Iowa Supreme Court from one that leaned left to a solidly conservative body, prompting concerns that it could erode past rulings on social issues. Reynolds already has made two appointments to the seven-member court, which now has a 5-2 Republican majority, and will get a third before her term ends in 2022 because of a mandatory retirement of 72 as the age for judges. If she runs a second term in office, Reynolds will complete the conservative transformation. It marks a stark contrast from recent past when an Iowa Supreme Court ruling in 2009 made it the third state in the nation to pave the way for same-sex marriage. As recently as 2018, the court established a fundamental right to abortion under the Iowa Constitution. The Iowa Court of Appeals has overturned a $3.25 million jury award against a Des Moines area couple's lawyer. over a failed adoption where the baby boy was later murdered. The Des Moines Register reports that a three-panel judge ruled Wednesday that adoption attorney Jason Reaper's conduct fell short of the legal threshold permitting Rachel and Heidi McFarland of Ankeny to recover damages for emotional distress from alleged malpractice. They sued because Reaper had failed to get the birth mother's signature in 2014 on a crucial document. Reaper said that she changed her mind. The infant lived with the couple for 2 months before he was returned to his mother. 5 weeks later, he was found dead in her apartment. The father pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and received a 50-year prison sentence. A Florida man accused of operating a pyramid scheme that cost 17 Iowans about $51,000 has agreed to repay the money and is prohibited from participating in any business operation involving mail or phone solicitations in the state. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller said he investigated Sean Palacio, who also goes by the name Richard Diamond Sr., after receiving numerous complaints. Palacio of Lake Worth, Florida, sent out mailers to Iowans, telling them that for $750, they could be a part of a money-making scheme that would generate $5,000 a week. Miller said Iowa consumers paid thousands of dollars and received nothing in return. Palacio denied the allegations but agreed to refund the money and pay $5,000 to a state consumer education and litigation fund. The agreement between Miller and Palacio was documented in an order signed by a state court judge on June 30th. Iowa ethanol producers are hosting a delegation from Mexico this month. Iowa Renewable Fuels Association Executive Director Monty Shaw says it's a group involved in retail fuel sales in Mexico.
They've had a state-owned oil monopoly for a long time that they've cracked open and are now allowing competition.
And in 2017, Mexico began allowing fuel with a 10% ethanol blend to be sold outside the three largest cities in the country. Shaw says those changes make Mexico an emerging market for ethanol produced in the U.S.
Right now, Mexico is the number two export market for U.S. ethanol production, about 350 million gallons.
That's roughly equal to the annual output of more than three of the largest ethanol plants in Iowa, according to Shaw. Most of the U.S. ethanol exported to Mexico has been used to make perfumes, solvents, and beverages. The state of Iowa collected over $500 million more in taxes during the last 12 months than during the previous fiscal year. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Fiscal year 2019 for the state of Iowa ended Sunday. Preliminary figures indicate tax revenue growth was ahead of expectations by nearly $100 million. In total, the state of Iowa took in more than $9.3 billion in taxes and fees during the past 12 months. Officials say it's hard to estimate how much of the tax windfall is due to higher wages in Iowa and how much is due to a change in a state income tax deduction. Iowans get a deduction on their state income taxes for federal income taxes paid. That deduction has declined because of the tax cuts enacted at the federal level. The phased-in state income tax cuts Republican lawmakers approved in 2018 started to take effect in January of this year, halfway through the state's fiscal year. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And researchers at an Iowa City-based think tank say policymakers should consider how raising the state's sales tax to finance water quality projects would impact low-income Iowans.
Sometimes that's being left out of the equation, and we think that we can improve the environment in Iowa and also make sure that low-income families are not being disproportionately impacted.
That's Natalie Veldhaus, a researcher for the Iowa Policy Project. If state officials hike the sales tax by 1% to raise money for water quality improvements, the Iowa Policy Project proposes raising tax credits that benefits the working poor and low-income renters. David Osterberg, lead author of the Iowa Policy Project report, supports increasing the state sales tax.
We need more funding for water quality. Water quality needs help in the state of Iowa, but how we do that matters.
According to Osterberg's calculations, the poorest two-fifths of Iowans would pay an extra $124 per year if the sales tax goes up 1%. He says boosting the earned income tax credit and a renter's credit would help to offset that. In 2010, Iowa voters approved a new state trust fund exclusively for water and land conservation as well as outdoor recreation, but legislators have balked at increasing the state sales tax to fill that account. Our news was brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.